You're listening to Shop Talk with your host, Kevin Tates. Brought to you by Eastwood Tools. Everything you need to do the job right.
Hey, gearheads, you're listening to Shop Talk, brought to you by Eastwood. Do the job right with the Eastwood Company. Before we go anywhere, I wanted to let you know that we have a new email address for you to give us feedback, write in questions that we can answer on the air, as well as tell us what you want to hear or even what you want to learn in future Shop Talk shows. That address is shoptalk@eastwood.com. So drop us a line and tell us what you're thinking. Today is a great interview with Jesse Greening from Greening Auto Company. This guy's enthusiasm is infectious, and he never seems to be in a bad mood, which I can't really figure out. But seriously, on top of kicking out award-winning work from their shop, this family-owned business has brought home two Riddler Awards and multiple high-ranking brass statues from the best shows in the country. And Greening Auto Company has managed to carve out a reputation of being one of the most professional outfits around. It kicks out outstanding custom parts and accessories, one-off wheels, and awesome designs. So take a listen as Jesse offers some great insight into how they achieved that level of excellence. It might surprise you just how simple that formula is. Hey, you're listening to Shop Talk with your host, Kevin Tates. Do the job right with the Eastwood Company. Now, today, we get to have a conversation with somebody that has not only won one Riddler Award, but has won two Riddler Awards. That's an amazing accomplishment under their belt. We're talking with Jesse Greening from Greening Auto Company in Nashville, Tennessee. Jesse, how are you, man?
I'm good, Kevin. How are you?
I'm hanging in. It's early evening, and I'm sure you're just taking a break from your work day. Are you slammed? You guys got a bunch of stuff going on?
Yeah. Fortunately, the shop is full, and we got some really great projects going on in the shop right now, and can't ask for anything better.
Well, you know what? For the guys that are listening, if you ever get the opportunity to go to Greening Auto Company in Nashville, it's worth a trip to Nashville just to go to these guys' shop and bug them. The work that they've got going on is just unbelievable. You guys, I'm there regularly, and it never ceases to amaze me the quality of craftsmanship that you kick out. Now, I know I'm blowing smoke and stuff, but, man, it's the truth, Jess. You guys do some amazing work.
Yeah, well, thank you. We have a lot of fun with it, and we've got an incredible team there at the shop just to help with everything. And it just makes everything go around and enhances everything. So it's all good.
Okay, here's the deal. You guys do amazing work. You walk in the door, and there's all these great builds going on, and the cars that you know, you're probably going to see in magazines or movies. Nobody starts out like that. You guys have been Greening Auto Company for how many years?
Actually, professionally, the shop's been going on for about 13 years. Just now starting our 14th year. So, yeah, it takes a little time to build that up. And it wasn't bad all in the beginning. And also along with some of the projects that are in there, too, you still find a little bit of the repair work here and there, which is all good. And it's a nice mix to everything. So, yeah.
Well, what about you personally, Jess? How did you get started in this career? What kind of background did you have?
Well, it all, you know, stems probably like most everybody else doing this type of stuff that I do is with family. And Dad always had an interest in street rods and hot rods and so forth. And it all stemmed from that. And then the shop name, Greening Auto Company, came from my great-grandfather who started a Buick and Olds dealership back in the 30s. And it progressed up through the 70s and dissolved after that, I think in the early 80s or so. And we brought the name back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and dug the shop that name again. So it all stemmed from family and learning it from them.
Well, I think that's one of the coolest things about you guys, that you work with your dad, Jeff, who is, by the way, a nutball. But you guys seem to have this real cohesive energy, and every time I've been around you guys, and it's been in different circumstances, not just the optimum things where you guys are putting on the dog and wanting, you know, to have a nice show for customers. I've seen you guys kind of in the trenches and working together, and you know, it's not all wine and roses, but you and your dad seem to really get along really well. What's the key to that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess just respecting each other, and that goes a long way. You know, I have this respect from him teaching me everything over the days or over the years, and as far as, you know, hard work and everything else. And I think he has a respect of and always giving me the opportunity to stretch, you know, what I see or want for the business or ourselves or the family or whatever. And it's always been a good mix, you know, and it's worked well. And it's kind of an unspoken thing that we all kind of realize that, but kind of let it just all happen all the time. So it's pretty unique and are incredibly fortunate to be able to have that. So.
Yeah, well, it's very cool to be around as well. Your dad obviously is a huge mentor. What other mentors have you had that kind of inspired you to overachieve like you guys do?
it's just an accumulation of, you know, back in the day, my mom's side of the family's from Coleman, Alabama, which where Paul Atkins resides. And so, back when I was younger, I would always see Paul's stuff in the magazine, his interior work in the magazines and so forth. And then we'd see it was from Coleman, so we visited one time and got to know him a little bit. And I ended up working for him a little bit, and that got me around some really nice hot rods. And this would have been in the mid-90s or so. And I caught the bug big time through that and worked on from there. And probably another huge influence is just chasing some of the greats, which would be Pete Shaporis, Roy Brizio, and Boyd, you know, over the years, and Bobby Alloway, and all those guys, you know. And I compete with them and hang with them now, I guess, a little bit, but I still feel like I'm chasing them. So it's a pretty cool thing to be able to, you know, to kind of rub elbows with them now, finally. And they were a huge influence on the type of cars I wanted to work on and where I wanted to go with things with the shop and so forth too. And then having people like family behind me and the great team we have at the shop and everything else, you know, just backing all that up. It's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Well, and you're rattling off names of the best of the best. And by the way, you guys are right up there with them. You are neck and neck, and everybody that's seen your work knows it. Which brings me to another question, Jess. When you're competing on that level, typically you'd think there would be animosity. But one of the things I love about the industry that you and I participate in is that we're all friends. When we see each other at a trade show, then everybody slaps each other on the back and we're high-fiving and going and having some adult beverage afterwards.
And there's
this intense competition, but at the same time, if somebody's in trouble, everybody helps them out, and I've seen it time and time again. What do you attribute that to? What's so unique about our industry?
Man, I don't know. I mean, it's just I think it just boils down to the camaraderie, and it's still a small niche type industry, hobby, whatever you have, however you want to view it, but yet it's so commonly known, you know, throughout anywhere you can, it's identifiable and all that. But I think to answer that question, I think it's just a small niche little company, and so we want to see everybody succeed and grow with things, because I think there's a built-in desire to see the whole as a whole everything grow. So the only way that's going to happen is if we help each other out and have a good time doing it as well.
Well, and I think you share that with almost everybody in this industry, and it's admirable, man. It makes it a cool thing to be a part of. And the guys that are listening, we're listening to Jesse Greening. We're talking with Jesse from Greening Auto Company, two-time Riddler Award winner. So let's talk about those awards. Which car was first?
The first one was Paul Atkins' car. Back in 2000, actually 2000, I believe, and it was one of the very first cars out of the shop, you know, the Greening Auto Company again, and it kind of set the bar after it was won. It was just incredible. It was amazing being able to capture that, and then at the same time, whenever all the smoke cleared and everything settled, we're like, oh man, now I got to keep a. You know, keep our stature there, and we got a lot of work ahead of us, and we just tried our best to keep up with that.
Well,
the second one would have been the. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. The second one, of course, is a beautiful Thunderbird. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a car for Dwayne Peace out of Texas, Tyler, Texas. And he came to us to do the finish work on it and all the trim work, wheels, all that stuff, the final on the paint, and see it home to Detroit. And we luckily clinched the Riddler award with that one as well. And it was just a neat, sexy car and nice red paint. I think that helped too, you know, never hurts. But, it was nice. And we've tried in the past, so, you know, we're not 100% at Detroit, but, you know, you try and you get to compete against guys like Chip or Bobby Alloway or, all those guys. And again, just to be able to be in that arena with those guys is pretty incredible. So, and to be able to take a few home is just kind of pretty surreal, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding, man. And that reminds me of a story that your friend and my friend Steve Tracy told me one time, and it was in regards to the Chromezilla car, and it was competing out at an event on the West Coast. And it ties back into the question I had for you before about competition and camaraderie and what comes first. And what Steve told me, and you can back this story up if I'm not making this up or if I'm remembering correctly, but what Steve told me is that offloading that car, they damaged the lower grill shell. It's a 32 Ford Open Roadster. Chromezilla was just amazing. You guys, if you're listening, if you get online, Google Chromezilla, beautiful car. But they scratched the grill shell. So I think it was Chip and Charlie Hutton that said, hey, don't worry about it. Bring it over to our shop. We'll get it fixed up for you, get you ready for paint for show tomorrow. So, you know, competing with Chip Foose, they take it to their shop and fix it for you, get it back on the car. Everybody works together. And then the next day, competing together. Holy crap, man. That's amazing.
That's exactly how it played out, right? Yeah.
And it was dad and
a friend of Steve, Butch Buford. They were driving the car out west to go to the LA Register show, and sure enough, it gotten damaged. And dad, Charlie Hutton has worked with us before in the shop, so dad didn't know of anybody else to call out there, so he called Charlie, and Charlie said, yeah, bring it over. You know, he had asked Chip, and sure enough, they had it in the shop, and I wasn't there, but if I'm not mistaken, I think they sprayed it once. It didn't blend in real well, so they Chip came back later that night and, scuffed it and sprayed it a second time so that the next morning it could be sanded and buffed. That's pretty incredible. So just in that itself. So, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
That's right. You know, and then the next day we were all laughing and, you know, everything was back together and looking nice, ready for show, and we're all laughing about it at that point. So, it doesn't get any better than that.
Still overspray smoking out of the radiator.
Right.
Yeah, but that's just a cool thing, you know, and it's just not petty like that. But I don't know. I'm glad I'm remembering that correctly, because that's fantastic to know that actually happens.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you personally, you know, you're kind of the design. You're the forward thinker at Greening Auto. Of course, you have a collaborative team, and your dad, Jeff, is I'm sure every bit as creative as you are, but that doesn't happen by accident. You know, I know Mike and Jim Ring, and they come up with great creative ideas, and my buddy Randy Borcherding in Texas, and there's a handful of other custom builders that really, like the Leggins Hot Rod guys, just beautiful, beautiful work, out of the box thinking. What gets you there? How do you become so fearless as to become a designer?
I don't know. and maybe that's it. I just find something that I like, or maybe find something that I want to push a little bit. And thank goodness we've had incredible clients over the year that'll let us, that'll allow us to push on stuff and make it a little different and to roll with some of that stuff. And thank goodness it's worked out for the best over the years. To just nail down something to answer that question, boy, I don't know. I mean, I go in every day and I see some stuff that I like, and it may, I may have an influence from a watchmaker or I may have an influence from some architect or something like that, you know, and I might be able to transform that over into something to a rear taillight design or a headlight design, a wheel spoke design. I don't know, you know, somehow I'll see something that I like out in the world, I guess, and bring it home to the hot rodding side of it. So,
You told me earlier that your chosen medium, your preferred medium for working with is aluminum, whereas I'm kind of a sheet metal guy, and the reason that I'm more of a sheet metal guy than an aluminum guy is because I'm intimidated by aluminum. I don't know that medium so well, and my skill set, frankly, is not elevated to that level. What makes aluminum more comfortable for you to fabricate and work with?
I think because I can move it around easily, and once I got over the hurdle of being able to weld it, you know, successfully, you know, and then, so that stigma was kind of taken out of play. I was able to just kind of roll along with it. And then it was just so easily pliable and movable and stuff like that. It was just a great medium and have a lot of fun with it. So, and it happens fast too, because at times I'll get impatient with steel and not moving fast enough, I wish I was making it in aluminum at that point. But I think that's where all that stems from, for sure. So,
well, Brad Starks told me one time that he said, "KT, get your TIG welding skills up, because with that, the rest of your skill set will rise to that level. It will raise your whole level of skill." So obviously you're mostly TIG welding. You can use a spool gun if your metal thickness is right, but mostly you're TIG welding with aluminum. So tell the viewers out there, what's your impression on how important TIG welding is to increase your skill set? Is it really that critical?
Yes, it is. I think it's incredibly critical, because you can – you have so much more control with it once you learn it, and there is a hurdle you have to get over with intimidation and so forth. But once you get over that, it's fine. And you kind of advance yourself so much more than with a MIG or even gas settling. I don't know. There's guys that go the other way with some of the gas settling welding and so forth. But that's kind of an enigma for me. But I have the TIG, so I'm okay. Yeah, I think once you get over that, then you're good to go. So, if you're anything like Dad, you'd get shocked 6 or 7 times, and you just give up on it and go, "I mean, 'cause I'm fading them. I'll just make what you're doing pretty." So, I guess that is age. You can do that. But yeah, if you get over that, it's a good deal. So, absolutely.
Well, that's funny. That's awesome. Well, listen, you guys are more than just a custom shop. You guys are now manufacturing parts. The first thing I saw you guys start popping out, other than just one-off custom parts like headlight lenses, taillight lenses, things like this, were the wheels. So tell us a little bit about Greening Auto Company's foraging into parts manufacturing and how you're increasing your catalog. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's a huge demand for one-off wheels, one-off parts and pieces, and we've been trying to fill that market. Along with that comes some production stuff, our LS valve covers. We're starting to develop a few things for the LS motors, and just because of the popularity of them. And also we're kind of branching off into a little side project called Nashville Wheel Company, and it has dually wheels, custom semi-truck wheels, and just to help complement everything that we're doing with the hot rod work. And it's nothing different, it's just a different genre, I guess, as far as vehicles that are being customized. And so that's happening along with our custom wheel stuff. And we're slowly but surely gaining knowledge, gaining, as far as product to be able to test and everything else to slowly come up and safely come up with our own production wheel line. So,
yeah,
so everybody kind of stay tuned for that, I guess. so we're working on it.
Well, I've seen a lot of your one-off wheels, and they're just gorgeous, and all the parts too, you know. And I see guys going in there all the time, and you and Jason and everybody, you just kick those things out. But you can't do that with a draw file and a pick hammer. You guys have CNC machines, don't you?
That's correct. Yeah. We have Haas equipment in the shop, and we're using Gibbscan tool software. Toolpath software and SolidWorks as far as the rendering and design work on that side, and just incredibly talented guys with Jason doing the CAD and design and engineering on that side, and then we have Wes McCutcheon running the machines and his little brother Matt McCutcheon. So we have some little extended family there on that side. And also with that, what's funny is their father is our paint rep. So we've had a long relationship with that whole side, and it just kind of extends our family, and it's good. It's all good. So.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about, you know, high-end fabrication and cars and clients with budgets that can support us. But we all started somewhere, and the guys that I feel like I really have something in common with are the DIY guys, because I was that for so long and still consider myself that. You know, I've been a professional painter. I've been, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But I still consider myself a weekend warrior to a certain extent. So my question to you is this. What advice can you give a guy that has a basic understanding of fundamental skills, that, you know, does some stuff in his driveway but wants to do better, that has that passion, that fire in the gut that we all have that makes us do better, that drives us to becoming better at our skills? What if you could give just a little bit of advice to this guy, what would you say to him?
Just work hard and know what the high quality of craftsmanship that is out there. Try and follow that. Try and duplicate that. And that's, you know, I've had no formal training over any of this stuff, even with the CNC stuff or any of that stuff. I've had no formal training. I know what I've wanted at the end. And I'll talk to people, ask people how to get there, how to get to that, how to get that end result. And it's a lot of hard work sometimes. But talking with people that know and getting some advice here and there, it can really speed up that process. So, I think it's a combination between that hard work and listening to people and knowing your end result, what it wants to be, making that very clear. That can get you there.
Yeah, and that takes a little bit of opening up your mind to be able to visualize something. But I think you touched on something really interesting. You said you're not afraid to ask somebody if you don't know something. And ego plays a part in everything, whether it makes us afraid to talk to somebody or say, hey, how did you do that? But, you know, guys listening, trust me, if you ever see Jesse at a trade show or his dad, Jeff, or heck, anybody, you know, don't be afraid to go up to these cats and say, hey, man, that looks good. What were you thinking when you did that? How did you do that? I know you would never turn anybody down asking you for information because you've got that heart. And I don't want people to be intimidated by guys that are on the top level of custom fab, because everybody that I know, Pete Shapores, all these, you know, I could drop names for an hour of guys that I've run across in my tenure doing the TV and all that kind of stuff, you know, that I still don't consider myself on the level of, but are willing to talk to me and give me advice. So I can't imagine it would be any different than anybody else. So I think that would be good to just remind people that they can talk to people. What do you think?
No, absolutely. Please. That's one of the biggest reasons we're there, is just to we get a lot of satisfaction and enjoyment out of just talking with people and sharing what we've experienced, what we've done, and so forth, to be able to create some of the stuff that we have. And also, whenever we talk to somebody, even that is not familiar with it and they're trying to get into it, there's always that out of the box, if you will, freshness to it. They may come up with something that, you know, we haven't thought of. And so that's another reason that we've always enjoyed talking with people out there. And so it's gathering information for both parties. So, yes, please come up and talk to us. So, yeah, there's absolutely that.
Well, and that's kind of one of the reasons that I like to kind of hang out sometimes with the mini trucker guys, because
yeah.
you know, people can say, "Oh wow, well, you know, they're you know, a bunch of knuckleheads, they're just hacking up a bunch of trucks." No, sir. Those guys
yeah.
are the custom fabricators of tomorrow. Those cats are fearless, and I admire fearlessness, especially in our trade. And they're not afraid to design their own suspension, cantilever suspension systems and sheet
that's
metal
right.
stuff and you know, I learned from Eric Saliba about using Tractor Supply trailer fenders to tub cars and stuff like that. You know, who knew?
Yeah.
But they look around, just like the hot rodders in the 50s, and they look around and say, well, what can I afford, and what do I want to see? And they put
exactly.
those two things together, and they create really neat stuff. I mean, you
that's
know,
right.
so I don't know. I mean, to me, that's to be admired and not disregarded. But
absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's just another cool facet of this industry, and you know, and guys like that. Let's face it, Jess. You and I, it's our job. If somebody shows interest, it's our responsibility to. I'm not going to say usher in a new generation of builders, because that makes it sound like they, you know, my ego's running away or anything like that. But the truth is, you know, you and I have had a certain amount of success, and it's due to hard work, and it's due to tenacity, and it's due to asking the right questions, and quite frankly,
yeah.
just working. But
yeah.
there's a serious lack in this country of skilled hands, and I think it's our responsibility to help and mentor when we can, and I know you feel the same way as I do, because we've had
absolutely.
This talk before. But you know, guys, listen, if you're intimidated, don't be. Get in. Jump in both feet and do the best you can and call Jesse Greene.
That's right.
<'Cause they'll help.
laughs> Yeah. And if I can't answer it, I'll try and find somebody who can.
Exactly.
Sure. So,
exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, you got to just jump in there and get after it. You're going to screw up, and that's part of it. And sometimes it's expensive. I've had my experiences on that, and
yep.
but it's all part of it. So that's the only way you're going to learn with it for sure. So yeah, there's no reason to be intimidated with it.
Well, Greening yep. Auto Company has had amazing success, and you should be so proud, Jesse. I wanted to ask you what's in the future. If you can give us a glimpse into what's coming down the road for Greening Auto Company, what's going on with you guys?
Oh man, some growth. Of course, and we have the room, physical room, the footprint of the building and so forth. We have room to grow a little bit there, taking on, we're not ready to yet to take on some new team members, but we're gearing up for that in the next year, maybe the middle of next year, hopefully, and more equipment, CNC equipment and so forth. So, you know, and it just boils down to simplifying for a little growth there. And, but yeah, so, to do some production stuff and make it more accessible out there, as opposed to just one-off pieces that are, you know, some of the elite projects that are being done out there. And but yeah, so in a nutshell, that's kind of where we're heading with everything.
Well, that sounds exciting, and maybe I can get a job application from you to learn how to TIG weld.
There you go. If I send you back there with Dad to learn how to TIG weld, know that something is up.
Okay.
Yeah, because he won't be able to teach you very well. Oh, man. Yeah, there's a big joke in the shop about him TIG welding or trying to, and him getting shocked all the time. So that's where that
comes
from. Oh,
yeah, he's told me he's been shocked a bunch of times, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
that's funny. Well, I've always said that the same basic mechanical laws and techniques are on a Mako splash job and on a Riddler award-winning car. The difference is in the planning, and it's in the execution,
yeah.
and it's in the follow-through. Would you agree with that?
At 100%.
Because, you know, a mechanical adhesion with paint is mechanical adhesion with paint. Sanding fillers, shaping metal, you know, it's the to me, it's the amount that you follow through with it. And I got to say, man, I'm so proud to be able to walk in your shop and say hi to you guys and call you my friends and just be amazed at the quality of workmanship that you guys throw out there. Every job that you do, there's no compromises. And if anybody's listening that wants to see top quality work, first class work, and in my opinion, the premier shop, especially in our area in Nashville, but also it's got to be in the country. Greening Auto Company. So thank you, Jesse, for what you do, and thank you for having the awesome attitude that you guys have.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, we're having fun and just enjoying what we're doing. So that's for sure.
Well, that's got to be one of the keys to it as well. You got to have some fun.
Absolutely. You go mad if you don't.
Yep. Well, is there anybody in the industry that you want to send a shout out to, or anybody that you want to say thanks to or acknowledge?
Yeah, I mean, there's of course, first and foremost, all the guys at the shop that are part of the team there, and ladies, and we have my mom in the office and my lovely wife Emily in the office, and everybody there that makes everything happen all day. So I could not be anywhere close to where I'm at today without all of them. And so first and foremost them, and the guys, all the guys that some of our vendors that help us, like supplying us parts and everything else, DSE, Art Morrison, Vintage Air, Classic Instruments, all those guys. It's an integral part of all of us working together to get good product out there to our clients, doesn't get any better than that. So, yeah, thanks to all them, for sure.
Good deal. Well, we can't do it without the support, can we?
No, not at all. Not at all. So.
Folks, you're listening to Shop Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Tates, and we've talked with Jesse Greening of Greening Auto Company, one of the premier shops in the country. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you down the road. And remember, the Eastwood Company, fine automotive tools and equipment. Do the job right with Eastwood.
Greening Auto Company is a pretty outstanding place to visit. So watch for their website and Ron Covell's schedule for 2014. There's a rumor from a pretty reliable source that Ron might be doing a workshop or a seminar at Greening sometime in 2014. And here, coming up in future shows, we're going to give you product reviews and feedback so you can catch up on the latest developments from Eastwood. And there's going to be a special surprise in the form of a special offer for listeners in the near future. So keep on listening. And remember, you can find us easily and subscribe on iTunes. Now, we've brought you some pretty interesting guests and topics, but always, and especially now with the new email address, you can write us here at Shop Talk and tell us what you want to hear on future shows. And that address is shoptalk@eastwood.com. So for now, thanks for listening to Shop Talk. I'm Kevin Tates, and we'll see you down the road. In the meantime, check out everything at the eastwood.com website. Eastwood has what it takes to do the job right. And you know me, I like to do the job right. Thanks for listening to Shop Talk. I'm Kevin Tates.